everybody, and welcome to Introduction to the Diving Deeper into the Spiral of Life course with Robert Gonzalez. Robert will start his talk today by working with a volunteer whose name is Howard Evans, and after he's completed that process with Howard, he will open it up for your questions. So let's go ahead and get started. So I mentioned that Robert will be working with a volunteer, and he's going to demonstrate one of Robert's practices called tracking and identifying exercise. And this exercise is designed to help you track, identify, and acknowledge your current zone of consciousness in three primary areas: protective and defensive structures, which is where your core beliefs reside; vulnerability, which is your undefended, open state of feeling. And it's also an avenue for tenderness, woundedness, and joy. And essence, which is the home of your true heart. So his exercise will help you track your current zone of consciousness in each of those three areas. The truth is that when you're able to identify and track your shifting zones of consciousness, you will see how to better care for yourself, and everybody in your life will benefit as a result. So, Robert, would you start us off by sharing just a bit of your personal journey that led you to arrive to this process that you'll be talking about tonight?
Yeah, I'll try to keep it short. This is one of the many processes, exercises, or inner maps that have come out of the work that I consider to be the spirituality that is inherent in nonviolent communication, the spirituality that nonviolent communication points us to. And in the inner work, I've found it really important to be able to actually identify and acknowledge what are the characteristics of the state of consciousness and being that I happen to be in at any one moment. That ability to identify these particular states, I think, is really crucial to a quality of self-connection and choicefulness about what I do with my experience. And so this is just one of the many processes that has emerged out of this work, and I find it really, really simple and clear and helpful. That's what I can say as a sort of very simple introduction to it.
Wow. I can say that I don't know your process, and I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm here.
Great. Howard Evans is a person who has been in many of my workshops and my life program many years. I've had the pleasure of being with him over the years, and he's familiar with my work. I thought that he would be an excellent person to demonstrate this work. So, Howard, thank you for volunteering to do this with me. And I'd like to just jump right into it. I've asked Howard to be prepared to work with a situation that he experienced fairly recently that's still alive in him that would be instrumental in showing how do we work with this process. So, Howard, are you ready to begin?
I'm ready.
Great. So with this process, let me just say a very brief introduction into it. We always start out, I usually start out with asking the person I'm working with to bring into their present awareness their experience of what happened in the past. So this is an NVC. We regard this as the stimulus or the observation. And then I'm going to guide him into these three zones, starting with the protective and defensive zone, moving into vulnerability, and then into the essence or the heart. So, Howard, would you be willing to just start by sharing with me what you experienced that I imagine is still in your consciousness to some degree?
What happened was that I was with my wife getting ready to go take the dog for an appointment, and we had said we were going to leave, you know, and she just kept doing things like go to the bathroom, make a cup of tea, do this, do that. And then we finally left and we were, you know, a little late already. And I'd said before that I wanted to stop and get a cup of coffee. So when we pulled in to get the coffee, she said, "Oh, we don't have time for that. We have to go right now." So I felt myself just tighten and burn the car and head for the appointment. And I carried that tension in me for a long time.
Yeah. Okay. Were you going to say more?
No, I was just going to say that seems to me that the essence of the stimulus for me is that.
Yeah. I can sense and guess that it was could be very rich in terms of when you say tighten. I imagine that there was maybe deep frustration or anger or irritation in your experience.
Yeah, it was just though I'd been made to do that.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll start with that. Just notice the phrase that you used, as though I had been made to do something. Now, start with any sense of tightening or constricting for me, my understanding that I've come to is that it's a form of protecting and defending. And defending can take either a submitting or an aggressive quality. And it also carries thoughts, story, judging, emotional feelings, and body sensations. So as you reflect on that experience, what I'd like to ask you to do is to share with me what is present in you right now as you reflect on it, rather than what you were feeling and thinking then.
As I told the story, I felt myself tighten, like my fingers are pressing into my palm, my gut is tight.
Okay.
I feel that.
You know,
I feel, yes, I submitted, but what I feel is angry.
Yeah, okay. So notice I'm hearing the tightening is the bodily sensation holding in, the constricting, the physical sensing. And then the anger is the emotional feeling.
Yes.
So there's two zones. So you're connected with that.
Very.
And I also heard, is there something present in you right now about any judgment, story, or thinking?
Well, I mean, the thinking is that, you know, I have to because she told me.
Okay. So just notice that. So notice that even in our conversation, you're sharing with me. Do you notice that there's a degree of you observing your thinking? I have to because she told me to, the feeling of anger and the tightening of the body. There's some degree that you're observing your experience.
Very much, yeah.
Okay. So even, I'm slowing this process way down. So in order to really get the value of this process, even at this stage, I find that there's value in just looking at naming it and observing that this is the quality of the state that you're in at this stage. You're observing it. And that, as I reflect that to you, what do you experience?
It's almost like I can begin to see myself driving the car.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
when you say driving the car, do you mean
like I'm not
operating
in the car. I'm watching the car make the turn toward the appointment and away from the coffee.
Okay. So as you're observing it, does it mean that you have more sense of being with it rather than being in it?
Yeah, I'm watching this guy do this.
Yeah, okay. And notice that as you're watching it, what is the quality of your experiencing now in terms of the thinking, the feeling of anger, and the tightness?
I think there's more empathy, you know. There's like,
yeah,
poor fool, you know, it's like, look how tight he got just because he got told he couldn't do something.
Yeah, okay. So now, just that, just this right now, you just stay with it. And you notice that there's thinking. You did something because you were told to. And connected to that, there's a feeling of anger and then the tightness in your body. This is the zone that I call, when you're in this zone, it's a separated zone. You are separate from others. You're separate from life. There's a sense of holding over and against life and others. Does that description fit your experience?
Yes.
And even as I'm sharing this, can I just ask you to be with it as you are right now, and just allow yourself to breathe, and just let it be in your experience, rather than anything else. Just allow it fully to be in your experience. Allow the thinking, allow the anger, allow any tightness that's there. And just share with me what you're experiencing right now.
What happened was that there was like a kind of sadness that came up of just,
yeah,
like, why do I do that?
Yeah.
Why do I?
Yeah. So I'm hearing two things.
There's a judgment too. Why don't I make a real choice?
So I'm hearing two things. That when you say sadness, I'm hearing that as a softer, more vulnerable experience.
Yeah.
And then the why don't I hear that as still part of the thinking, judging.
Yep.
Is that, do you sense that you're self-judging?
Yeah.
Why do I do this?
There's also a kind of curiosity that's not so intensely judgmental.
Yeah. Curiosity is not so judgmental in the sense that, is it more open? You're curious. You want to understand.
Yeah.
So notice that when you're curious how you feel in the body. Is it tight or is it different?
There's a relaxation. There's something that's
more
opening. That,
yeah. Okay. So you're describing,
caught.
It's not caught. There's a more of a flow. Is that what you mean by opening?
Yeah. I'm more, I think it's like I'm beginning to see that I made a choice rather than somebody made me do something.
Ah, okay. And as you're sharing that, I'm sensing that there's something more open, more allowing, perhaps more vulnerable in your experience that you're touching into?
Yeah, it feels old at the same time. You know, it's like, I know this place.
Yeah, old meaning it's a very familiar kind of experience that you have felt many times in your life.
Yes.
A sense of a deep life pattern.
Yeah, something that out of my desire to please or to...
Okay. So notice that. Now, I'm sensing that there is a sense of, perhaps you as a very young person, your desire to please, something in you that you have in your desire to please, there's perhaps a longing or a deep need in this. Can you connect to that?
Yes.
Can you just allow yourself to feel the longing, whatever it is, whatever emerges of the deep need to please, whatever that word means, there's a longing for something.
Well, I want to be seen. I want to be...
Okay. So I'm hearing the words. Let's go deeper into that. When you say, I want to be seen, can you let yourself feel the deep desire and the longing to be seen? Let yourself feel it in the body.
Yeah, I want to be seen. I want to matter. You know.
As you say that, what is your experience in your feeling and sensing?
Tears come. There's sadness.
So there's tears. There's sadness as though there's a hurt or a wounding that you carry with you coming to the surface.
Yeah, that's a place where it's familiar, this submission.
Okay. Yeah, submission in the sense that you submitted rather than chose, rather than and be at choice.
Yeah, I mean, I could see a different path where I could either go get the coffee anyway or, wait a minute, I had a need or two and talk about it.
Yeah, at least to name it and acknowledge it in the recent situation that happened.
Right.
Yeah, notice we were going into two different places. One is the very familiar feeling that you carry with you in your body, sort of in your system, and then how that showed up in the current, recent situation.
Yeah, the pattern is that I admit that I go with what I'm told to do.
Now, when you say that, I'm hearing that as part of perhaps a core belief that exists in the protective and defensive zone. I submit instead of going, I'm doing what I'm told to do instead of choosing what I'm really needing.
Instead of naming what I really need, I don't even name it.
Yeah, the first stage would be naming it. So sensing in your open, vulnerable state, are you needing or wanting the inner space to be able to name what's in your heart and what you're needing?
Yes.
So just notice, just naming this, that this is what you're longing for, this is what you're wanting, just to be able to create this inner spaciousness so that you yourself can connect to what you're needing.
Yeah. Yeah, as soon as you said in my heart, there was like something just moved upward in my chest.
Yeah. Right now at this stage, we're just in this place, and I'm sensing that you're in a more relaxed, a softer place in your experience.
Yes. Yeah, the anger is gone. I don't feel the anger right now.
The anger is transformed.
The tightness across my chest and in my abdomen is also gone.
Yeah. I want to name, for your sake, but also for the listeners, that one of the primary characteristic of being in protection and defensiveness is constriction, is tightness, holding, contraction. All these different words describe the quality of separation. And when transform into a more vulnerable, open state, it's more of an undefended place. You're not defended, you're just feeling. And you're feeling, as I'm hearing you share, in touch with a deep need and a deep longing. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. So much of this is not just a cognitive tracking, it's a conscious, energetic tracking. So you can sense into and feel your vulnerability, your openness, your flow. And as you feel it, do you have a sense of being fed or nurtured?
Yeah, it feels good, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Can you say more about the good? What's the quality in your own words?
Well, I feel like even though I don't necessarily know how to do that, to really access the longing in my heart in the moment.
Yeah.
That I'm really aware of wanting to do that and that it's possible. I believe that something different is
possible. Yeah. So in this moment, you are able to access your heart, a more vulnerable, softer place. But I'm hearing you reflect on in those other moments when you're triggered or reactivated, you don't have that necessarily available to you, your conscious ability.
No, when I'm triggered, I turn the car towards the appointment and my need never surfaces.
Yeah, okay.
What I'm longing for doesn't show up.
So this exercise is very valuable that can show us that this is accessible when we take the time and the space to access and connect. So I'd like to just stay with this for a moment and stay with the feeling, the energy of the longing, and just notice what emerges into your heart. What is the deepest longing in your heart right now with this experience?
I just want to be able to come from that soft place. Even, you know, if I'm looking at being triggered or whatever, just to come from that place and just self-compassionately be present with what's happening.
Yeah. So if you were to stay with what you just said for this present moment, notice the words where I want to be able to, which is a more subtle reference to the future. In this moment, what are you longing for?
Longing for a quality of gentleness, self-compassion.
Okay. As you say that, just allow that inner spaciousness just to feel, to whatever extent you can feel, gentleness in the self-compassion. And if you would share with me.
Quality of self-care in there.
Self-care, okay.
Loving my own process and how I move.
And I'm sensing that you are feeling this energetically. You're conscious of it, but you're also, is it an energy that you're feeling in your body, in your emotions?
Yeah, there's tears running down my face, but I'm not sad.
Yeah.
There's a quality of joy and connectedness.
Yeah. As you're describing that, that's what I hear as your essence. That's your heart, the zone of your essence,
of
your
being.
I'm not
trying to go anywhere or do anything with this one.
No, there isn't. I don't think there's anything to go to do. It's just to be with it and to allow the energies to feed you, to nurture you.
I feel that.
So stay with that. I'm going to ask you to do one final thing before we finish. Stay with this energy, and perhaps some of the softer, vulnerable states will be available to you too, the longing. And then staying in this experience, in this consciousness, in this energy, bring into your awareness the original experience that triggered you and just notice what happened. Notice what happens to you.
I can feel the place where it feels like it's my heart that shuts down.
Yeah. You have a sense of the shutting down and you can be more conscious of that. Is that what you're saying?
As I think about it, I can feel it in my chest, but it's not happening to me. I'm not going through towards the anger or anything else. I can just feel the little tightness across my chest.
Yeah. Sounds like you're able to be observing, watchful of it, of perhaps the tendency to shut down, but it's not happening right now.
Right.
Okay. Is there anything in your experience right now before we complete the process?
There's a sense that, I really can catch this.
Yeah.
Do it differently another time or just be gentler with myself however it comes out.
Yeah.
Last time it took me 24 hours and sort of picking a fight with Vicky before I began to see that it was, that the anger, it was carried along rather than seeing it and letting it go and bringing that self-compassion.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you, Howard. I want to say a couple of other closing remarks to this process. Is it okay right now with you, Howard, other than a couple of questions I might ask you, that we kind of complete this part of the process?
Yes.
Yeah. And I like the last part that you said because it confirms the intention that I hold around this kind of a process, which is what I interpret is that you have more sense of clarity or hope that you can recover yourself and your wholeness perhaps more quickly than you had in the past. So it can perhaps be an inner method or map for you to reconnect with your wholeness. Does that fit your experience?
Very much. And a little clue of, you know, oh, I just submitted.
Yeah, that self-awareness, what you just said to me, is a self-responsible awareness. That is
rather
the key.
Than blame.
Yes, because when you're blaming, you're caught in the aggressive part of defensiveness, in the judging. You're in it, you're enacting it, and you don't really have freedom to choose. But when you're observing, then there's a space wherein you can truly choose.
That's the space that I'm claiming as
yes.
accessible and possible.
It's beautiful. Okay. And I find it valuable to be able to identify in my own process that there are these three primary sort of aspects or zones. One is when I'm tight and holding and judging in protecting or defending. And the other one when I noticeably become undefended, softer, more vulnerable, more open to more deeply feeling, which is a non-blaming, non-judging, open feeling state. And then from there, it's the doorway or the key into the heart, my essence, my wholeness, where the qualities and energies of being, of love and compassion, strength and wholeness reside. So before we complete and open it up to the next phase of the call, Howard, is there anything else you'd like to share about your experience working with me today or any other insight or experience that you have?
Right now, I just feel a lot of gratitude. Even more than what I'd worked on my own, this feels like I'm more complete, more at home with this.
Mm. Wonderful. Beautiful. Thank you. Okay. So I feel complete with this. And Mary, I am now open and ready to respond to people's sharing or questions in response to witnessing, observing my working with Howard.
Thank you, Robert. And thank you, Howard,
sure.
for participating in this call, too. And so let's open it up. I would love to take any questions or comments. So if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, okay, we just got a bunch of hands up. Go ahead.
I'm new at NBC, and I look forward to listening to this again because there was something in the very beginning when the volunteer shared the story, and it all came clear to me about it's like NBC dissects down to the marrow what I'm experiencing, and I guess that's just my comment. I don't really have a question. I just long for more and appreciate you and NBC. Thank you.
Thank you for the comment.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I'm curious. I've observed this process a number of times in my NBC workshops, and so I'm wondering, Robert, what is it that you are bringing to it that is innovative or different from classic NBC empathy sessions? Is that a clear question?
It's clear to me. I have a different experience than you do of what you're calling NVC empathy. And my experience being different, this brings elements that I have not found at NVC empathy. The elements are, one of the primary ones is clearly identifying the bodily felt energy and sensations that is the body-centered, and identifying this as a protective and defensive, actually, zone where all the language of judgment emerges from this zone, and to be able to clearly distinguish it from the softer and open and vulnerable state. And from that, that there's a stream of energy that goes to our longing, that needs are more than a psychological or communication concept, but they are actually the longing to our essence, to the divine energy in our very being. So given the limited amount of time for me to respond to this, to the question, that's what I would say.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So it has a bit of
yeah.
a focusing dimension to it, perhaps, for the body, for the felt sense, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about, you know, near the end when you look back at the stimulus, and I noticed Howard said that he had some constriction still, and I noticed in myself some contraction, thinking, oh, it would have been lovely to stay with the essence part, and I'm wondering whether you could speak
yeah.
to the value of that. Is it in order to take forward this responsible awareness and choice, something around that?
Well, there may be different purposes for that, but one of the purposes is a kind of a checking. We've done this work, just say I've done this inner process work, and I arrive at a place that it feels good, I'm relaxed, I'm radiant, I'm flowing, but I think there's a test, what I call a stabilization test. Well, how stable is this state of consciousness that I've ended up in? And one of the ways to determine the stability is to bring the original stimulus into my awareness. If it reactivates me, it's an indication that it would be advantageous for me to continue to do this work, deeper and deeper layers of it. Many people share different versions of being either reactivated or being completely free from reactivation when they bring the original stimulus. It's a checking for stabilization kind of step. I'm hoping
great,
that that's clear.
Yes, thank you.
I got so much out of this. I filled in the blank of Howard's experience with something I was feeling yesterday, very similar. And I have seen Robert's DVDs and have just enjoyed them so much. And this time, I think it came really clear to me because I realized that my upset and the feeling, the bodily feeling about it, when we went through it, was saying in my need, what I felt was, that I realized that I wanted connection to be cared for and to matter. And then by the time we finished, I realized that my wanting that connection, and this was my husband, is if I had been truly connected to myself, which is where I need to find it to begin with, I would have seen his actions from a completely different place, which was the vulnerable spot that I went to with Howard's work of being connected to myself and being connected to my needs. And like that tightness and constriction just completely went away. And I realized that that wholeness that you're speaking of, I think for the first time in my life, is I'm really trying to connect to myself first. It was just fantastic. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you for your comment. That absolutely fits my experience as well, is that the degree to which I am connected to my own vulnerability and my own essence is the degree to which I am less prone to be reactive and judgmental, and then
truly,
I can connect more with others.
Truly.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hi, Robert. Is there a time on this call where you could talk a little bit about the course and the structure of it and what it's going to be like?
I just want to thank you for that amazing segue. We're going to spend a few minutes and talk about Robert's program, and then we'll have time after that to ask questions about Robert's program, and then if there's still time, then we'll take any more questions about today. So let's go ahead and jump in. I would love to tell you about this program. It's called Diving Deeper into the Spiral of Life. It's a 6-part telecourse. So Robert, would you briefly describe the course and also what you think people are most likely to get from participating in it?
I'll just describe the primary focus of the course. You know, we touched on it in this exercise. There are so many different elements that we're going to touch into, so I can just give you a hint. We really start with what I call the life force, the divine life force, our essence, the heart, what it is that is really the heart of our needs, our human needs. Be able to cultivate and clear and clarify this part in us to help us connect with it. And then to be able to develop compassion and self-compassion. We'll have some exercises that we will deepen. It'll be a continuation of the first 6-week course in deepening compassion and self-compassion. I'd like to share a deeper understanding of what I call suffering and difference between suffering and natural pain, and exercises about mourning and vulnerability, and including this exercise of tracking our zones of our essence, our vulnerability, and our protectiveness. We'll also focus on the inner space of mutuality and self-responsibility in relationships. And the spirituality of the process has always been something that's called to me, and I see spirituality as our relationship to the life force that exists in and through me and in and through you, the sense of our connectedness to this, the openness and the mystery, and a way of integrating this process into our life so we can generate more wholeness in our life. So that is a very brief overview of the topics in the course.
Gosh, it sounds really nurturing and enlivening both, actually. So what inspired you to create this course?
Well, this work itself inspires me. I'm very fed by sharing this, and the more I share this work in all its different forms, the more I deepen and am nurtured, and the more I evolve in my own consciousness. And so this particular form of a telecourse through NVC Academy is something that I would love to make what I share available in ways that is easy and more available and affordable for people around the world, people who perhaps don't have the means or the time or money available to come to my workshops when I do work in the U.S. or in Europe or other parts of the world. I'd like to make it available. And I want to be able to at least introduce something of what I do. I've gotten so much feedback from people around the world of the value and how it just answers some of their deep longing. So it's very deeply meaningful for me. It is a form to help people to continue and to deepen this practice and to introduce people to the practice of this deeper spirituality and self-compassion practice that I share. So those are some of the elements that have inspired me to share this through NVC Academy.
You know, while you were saying that, it occurred to me that there might be people on the call who haven't actually worked with you and don't kind of have a sense of how you teach. So could you just give just a brief overview about what you think the structure of the calls might look like so they can have a sense of it?
The way I structure the course is it's a two-hour course, and I usually start out with a short opening meditation because it's not an information-based per se or a cognitively centered course in which we learn concepts. I open it up with a meditation so that people can become present, become more conscious, and be more experientially centered. Then after that, I often start out with an inspirational reading, and then I will give a brief sort of introductory, say some words, perhaps principles or constructs around the focus of the course. And I might work with some people, and of course, throughout this my introductory talk, I'll invite questions or responses or maybe a little bit of dialogue or clarifying questions. And then I may do an experiential demonstration with the process with someone. Then I'll often do at least one or more exercises with people. So the conference structure allows breakout groups. So it's usually I do them in pairs for ease and time efficiency. So I'll give people an exercise that I'm doing for the particular class that I'm offering. And they'll do the exercise, work with someone in a breakout room, a partner, for a short period of time. And then we'll come back into the large group and people will ask questions and share their comments or share their experiences of what they experience in the exercise. And then usually we'll have more of an open dialogue. What emerges from these exercises can lead to a lot of different directions in terms of what people experience, what they're wanting, sharing their experience, asking for clarifying questions. And I may just do, sometimes I'll do a second exercise. I want people to have as much experience as possible, so I try to do at least two exercises for each class. We'll come and do another debrief session, and then I'd like to check in with people as much as possible and invite as many people's voices so that there's some sense of participation. I want as many people to participate as possible. Even if it's just saying a few words, my intention is to hear at least something from each person that's on the call. And then there'll be a closing. Sometimes we'll ask for the group members, the class members, to do a checking out to share what their experience was like in the class. And then I'll do a closing, and that'll be the course, the 1 2-hour course. So that's the general structure of each class.
Thank you, Robert, so much for participating and leading today's call. Thank you to Howard for offering your participation as well. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, Mary.